Your heart sinks, and the text and numbers on the screen blur as tears sting your eyes. Some of us reluctantly hold them back, many of us secretly letting it all out. You feel a wave of disappointment, a heavy cloak of self-doubt settling over you. Your mind races with questions of inadequacy. Did I study enough? Am I smart enough? Is this CA thing for me? The moment you see your mark feels like a punch in the gut. It's as if that single grade defines your entire worth, casting a shadow over your dreams and ambitions. The world feels smaller, your goals more distant. Yet within this storm of emotions lies the seed of resilience waiting for the chance to grow and blossom into action. For our guest today, my friend and fellow third-year accounting science student at the University of Pretoria, Unity Musaka, he has been at the same low mark that has seen you at your lowest lows, but not letting them define him, and immediately after that, shooting up to achieve a distinction. So we chat about how he did it, going from 40% to 80% for a particular topic. We also chat about bigger picture thinking, quantitative versus qualitative thinking, the beauty and significance of gratitude, tactical ways to prepare better for assessments, the importance of approximating performance in your practice, and taking the right advice, not all advice. Plus, of course, so much more. Unity is a lifelong learner who is now filled with wisdom and insights fueled by his curiosity. I love the way he's just always gaining knowledge. And so I learn so much from him. I hope you do too, and that you enjoy. Very quick one before we start today's episode, just a little disclaimer. I was chatting with some of my classmates a few weeks ago, and when I asked them if they would one day like to be having an episode on the show, you know, I recall them saying that, you know, all the people on the show are too special and that they're so successful that they don't have anything to say. What are they going to say? They don't have anything valuable to share. Absolute nonsense. And I wanted to just quickly stress this before today's episode. How old are you? Yes, listener, listening to you. Yes, listener, listening to this right now. How old are you? You're probably over 18, meaning you have at least 18 years of lessons and stories that others could learn from. You know, every one of my guests, every single one of them is amazing. None of them walk on water. Many have repeated and failed just as I have, but it's courage and generosity. Their courage and generosity in sharing their story that makes them even more amazing. When we share more, we become more kind, more courageous, more trustworthy, more connected. We become better chartered accountants. And so the disclaimer for today is that none of the people I interview are better than you. In fact, you have so much more to give that I would love to see. So don't be shy, connect with me, chat with me. I would love to have you on the show if you are willing to share your amazing story that is there. I will have my LinkedIn link down below. Send me a connection request and let's chat, guys. Let's be aspiring accountants, aspiring CAs together, not alone. And so I want to connect with you guys. Connect with me down below using my LinkedIn profile. I will link it down below in the show notes. And with that disclaimer done, on to the episode. Welcome back, my people. This is The Road to CA. It's yours, it's mine, it's our conversation. where we look back, we look within, and we look beyond, not in the hopes that it will end, but that it will begin in CASA. Today, we're joined by a thinking mind. But what I love about this man, what I love about him is that he's not just a thinking mind, but a doing mind. He's a distinguished Golden Key member with an unwavering passion for corporate finance and a commitment to accuracy and integrity. He's one of our fellow third-year students. He's a killer. He's my friend. We're joined by Unity Musaka. Brother, how are you, man?
I'm good, Mr. Alunga. First and foremost, thank you for the platform. You're really doing a great job with your platform. And I believe that you are a voice to the voiceless. There are a lot of people who aspire and who really desire to hear the kind of conversation you have on your platform. So for me, I really, really honor this opportunity and I'm really grateful for it.
I'm glad you're here now, bro. I'm really glad that I got to meet you now. You know, we seldom get to see great people at the beginning. I'm blessed and I'm happy that I get to be at one of those spaces where you get to see the people who are going to make the changes, the people who are going to add value. You get to see where he came from, you know. And I'm honored, bro. I'm honored, I must say. Dude, why do you love finance so much? You've always been plugged in. Why do you love it so much, bro?
I don't know, man. I just, as a kid, I always been curious. Yeah. I always been watching news at a young age. I always woke up in the morning and prepare for school. And the first thing before you eat breakfast, news at a young age, man. And the kind of conversations you hear when the parents dialogue, they impacted me. Mm. Fast forward, the most important moment, it was when I met my mentor in first year, Mr. Lungela Kuzayo. He's the one person I would say had a significant impact into like stimulating my interest into finance, because we were just chilling on a random day and the guy took out his phone and he bought a share of Coca-Cola. That was the craziest thing ever. I was like, bro, did you buy ownership of Coca-Cola with your phone? It's like, yes. And I was like, okay, from there, we started to, okay, it's possible, 1 year. And for me, I was like, okay, I would like to do it, you know? So it's like, okay, this is how you do it. He showed me how to do it. And fast forward, the thing with me is that I'm a curious person. Mm. So I like reading, I'm knowledge stimulated. So I divulge deep into, let me download financial statements and let me see what's happening. And the craziest thing is that at that time, like, bro, there were so many things which were there which I couldn't understand. I always looked at the numbers and I'd be like, oh, there's goodwill and all of that. So when I progressed with my studies and I got to second year, and they were like, oh, goodwill is because of this, a bargain on purchase because of that, you know, I was so excited, you know what I mean, because of these things, I always wanted to understand them and I couldn't then because I didn't have the knowledge, you know what I mean? But that's where everything started, because it is desire, you know, thirst for knowledge. And because I, as a person, I would like to be an asset manager. I would like to own my own hedge fund one day. And I always focus, use that as an aim and a target. That's my bigger picture. So everything I do, it has to contribute to that. Either through network, either through academics, either through any other thing which I do, I always make sure that the bigger picture is there. That's my aim, you know what I mean? That's my Pluto, that's where I'm heading. And everything we do is just the cumulative experience which has to contribute to that.
Okay. I first want to know, are you more of a quantitative thinker or more of a conceptual thinker? So I'm more of a conceptual mind. I like to think about the idea as a whole, as opposed to getting into nitty-gritty kind of numbers side. It's funny that you know, you have to have a certain numbers proficiency, but I find that I'm more of a conceptual thinker. What would you say you are?
I think I'm more of best of both, but my greatest strength is the numbers, you know, so I'm very fortunate to have quite proficiency in mathematics, and I do make a meaningful impact with how numbers move, and I can read into numbers and like have an insight into, okay, this might mean that and this might have impact on that. So for me, qualitative, it's my strength, but complemented with what moves share price or what leads currency to fluctuate is the fundamentals, is the news. So for me, reading newspaper articles and all of that is second to nature. It's something which I've been doing for years. So that complements the number side. So it is in there that when we, in class, like you could give typical examples which are related to real life experience, because of, it could be an article which I read last night, today in the morning, and that really, really, really build business acumen, because you just realize that there's a whole bigger picture behind what we're studying. It's not just a shallow experience.
It's like potentially a very real application.
Somewhere. Even though it's hidden in the cracks and the pain and the roughness which we go through, but there's a bigger picture. And like the Eiffel Tower, which is in our study guide, like our lectures are trying to help us get there. So yeah, that's my view of everything. But I think numbers, they help me a lot. And like the ability to, anybody, like you can perform the technical calcs, but someone who's able to interpret them becomes very important, because of, you need to find meaning. We can all see the zeros there, but what do they mean? It's a very important skill.
So I hear you, I understand you. So you began with numbers. You began having a mathematical proficiency. And then it sounds like, obviously, with the influence of your parents, qualitative came on top of that, understanding the fundamentals, seeing the news, seeing what happens, and maybe even seeing, hopefully, and like as a blessing, you see the news and then you see a stock price go up. Now, let's go back, bro. Let's go back. Where did you begin?
My journey in CA, or maybe like me as a person having to
you pursue. As a person, I like your philosophy. I mean, you spoke of cumulative experiences becoming you. Where did you begin? Where do you think?
My journey starts, it goes back to grade 9. I was at a career fair, and there was a guy from, I think, Clientele Life, you know, and it was at the comments desk, and this guy, we were asking questions, and like then common careers, we knew it was engineering, doctors, and all of that. So for me, CA wasn't something which I knew about by then, but the guy said, nah, man, like, you should consider doing this. I don't know why he said that to me. Maybe it was out of the conversation which we had, but he said, like, there's a career called X, Y, and Z, and this is what you have to study to do it. Go research about it. And after that, I did exactly what he said. And from that point, I had the desire to pursue it. Like, the desire was there, complemented by the fact that I was just good in accounting, and it just made sense. So I was like, okay, accounting science makes sense, and I'll pursue it, because that's my journey to becoming a CA. So that's where it all started.
I love, like, there's these seeds in all our journeys. I wish we could all go back and find those little seeds. Reason why I believe in going back and finding the seeds is because I believe everything great started small.
100%.
Everything great started small. And if we can, like, really conceptualize the idea that all you need is the next word. All you need is the next sentence thereafter. Because that sentence, that word, it creates the page, and the page creates the chapter, and the chapter creates the whole story. And if you apply that same conceptual thinking, that seed, you just have to do 5 minutes of reading. Don't even think about the whole day. Let's just go to the next 5 minutes. Let's just read through the scenario. Let's just attempt the first half of that question. Taking it step by step is such a powerful idea, man. let's quickly go to an interesting thing about you. Your favorite song. It's Love Yours by J. Cole.
Yeah, man.
Very interesting favorite song. Why?
The message behind. Yeah. I listen to a lot of hip hop, but not because of it's a popular song and all of that, but the message.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I will go back to old records and just listen to it because of the beautiful message. So with Love Yours, what J. Cole says, man, he says you'll never find happiness in life until you love what's yours.
Mm.
There will never be enough, but just appreciate what you have. So that in life creates what we call contentment. That in life creates what we call the ability to appreciate what's at your disposal. Mm. Because I believe that in life, sometimes we deprive ourselves of happiness because of we always compare things or compare our life with other people's life. You know what I mean? And that steals joy in your life.
It steals.
Yeah. It's the greatest crime you'll ever do for yourself is to allow yourself to compare yourself to others. You can do it in a positive way.
Mm.
Saying there's a student X who's doing well. Why am I not doing that?
Mm.
And then by you gauging yourself with him or her, you're trying to aspire to get there. But don't let envy get into you. See what I mean? So J. Cole, Love Yours, it just makes you appreciate what you have in life.
Love Yours. No such thing as a life that's better than yours. No such thing.
There's no such thing.
I love it, man.
Yeah, our lives have beautiful stories, man. And just to tap into my spiritual life, I believe that God placed us where we are for a reason.
Mm.
And we were born in our respective families for a reason.
Mm.
You know what I mean? He knew why you had to be born where you are. He knew why you had to be raised the way you raised. And all those things cumulatively, they make the person you are, right? So there's always a reason, man. You just have to be grateful for the person you are, for all the things you have. And that's the beauty of it.
Mm.
Because the minute you are grateful for, you find so much fulfillment in it.
So, yeah, man. This is not a religious podcast by any means, but I want you to go through a little bit of your favorite Bible verse, the one that you gave me, Isaiah 60:22. Interesting one. I think there's lots of wisdom in it. Very valuable for everyone. Can you just go through it?
So the book of Isaiah, Prophet Isaiah in chapter 60, verse 22, depending on which version you read, I know it from NIV. It says that I will take a small nation and make it into a big nation, and I, the Lord, your God, at the right time will make it happen.
Mm.
So that for me, it always speaks to the fact that at the right time, I'll be a CA.
Mm.
At the right time, at the perfect time, which is only known by God, which is written by Him, bro, like nobody else. Right? So that enables me to be positive regardless of the hurdles I go through.
Mm.
You get what I mean? Like, even when I had a pitfall into second year, like, where I couldn't pass all my modules, it was a difficult period. Mm. But Isaiah kept me alive, man. Like, I knew at the right time I'll be in third year. I knew in the right time I'll definitely finish my undergrad, do my PhDs, go into a specific employer where I would like to be employed, and do what I have to do. But at the right time, because timing is very important.
Mm.
Timing is very important, man. Like, that's the importance of Isaiah. For me, it keeps me going that even though I had failed, I don't feel like I'm left behind.
Mm.
Because I just knew God's timing is the perfect timing for my life. And it just sustained me, man. Like, because you need that in life. Sometimes you see, like, our peers, they were graduating and all of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The beauty of it.
Yeah.
When I look at them, I'm happy and I'm able to clap for them. I'm like, I'm coming at the right time.
Yeah.
You get what I mean?
Yeah.
So it doesn't derail me and make me feel sad and all of that. Nah, like Isaiah, it sustained me, as I said. It just produced the life in me to keep going, man, to keep trying.
Mm. Yes. Such a powerful message, man, that no matter what happens.
Regardless.
There's timing. There's always a timing factor. And I know I can say personally, I failed at the right time. Imagine if I had gone, dude, I don't know what I'd be able to do. If I was in CTA now with the bass, with the shaky bass that I had.
You'll be seeing flames, boy.
I'll be seeing flames. So maybe it was all part of a better outcome.
Mm-hmm.
let's go back to earlier this year, right? You failed CEV1. He failed CEV1, guys. I'm putting him on blast. He failed CEV1. And then he got a distinction for the first year test. What happened?
Okay, I failed and... Okay, I was very unhappy with my marks.
Sorry, CEV1 for those who are not from UP is class test 1, just in case.
Yeah. I failed my CEV1 for FBS and I was unhappy with the mark I got. But when I got my script, I just objectively looked at why I lost the marks. So the first question, the funny enough, is it wasn't an English paper, bro, but I was writing essays in the form of paragraphs, and that was the strategic question, and my writing was too horrible. I over-explained. I wrote 3 points in a paragraph, and I was just awarded a few marks. So, and it chowed most of my time. And then question two, I failed to answer the required. Everything I identified of the errors, I knew what they were caused by, but I didn't support it with calc, so I lost marks. Required three, bro, I calculated for two products, so not properly reading the required led me to wasting much of my precious time, not getting to where I needed to go. So that's what happened, and I failed. I got 43, I think.
Which is also not bad, might I add. It's still exam entrance one. Two.
That's fair.
Two, you put a lot on the paper. It's not that you were out of your depth.
Yeah,
there was thinking. There was thinking. So I want to add, firstly, even before the class test, you knew it was working. Then what happened after?
Okay, so after that, I knew why I had failed. So I wasn't too hard on myself. I trusted the process. I continued doing what I needed to do. But this is a two-way path, man. Like, there's the pre-work and the deliver on the actual day. So I continued doing my pre-work, like making sure I studied the way I needed to study, practicing under, you know, stress time, you know, 1.5. Right, when I do the question banks, I use 1.5 just to stress test myself, you know what I mean? Because I believe it's important to simulate the exam environment when you practice so you get used to that uneasy feeling. You know when sometimes you read the information, you get overwhelmed and you feel so uneasy? Get used to that feeling so that when you're in the exam, you had failed it 10 times. So you know how to manage it better. And I continued doing that, and I remember, like, what if you were to ask me what I did correctly in the year test, is that I took 30 minutes of my precious writing time, and I was reading. I read the whole paper, I read the required, and from there, I just started to dumb my answers, you know, because of I had comprehensively had an understanding of what I was reading, and I knew my required, so I was able to utilize my information better. I critique it, and I could write with like very effective, efficient, and concise, because that's the other thing we struggle with, you know, is to write points which are, you know, you're saying this, but you change your direction, you go there and go there. So that's what helped me. And I believe that the reading contributed significantly to it, but also time management. So having to practice it so many times, it just led me to be very good with managing it when I'm in the exam, because that's what I do every day. Like, even now, I can assure you, I was doing question two in the question bank for IS8, and I timed myself. You get what I mean? I did it under time, and I managed to complete it within the allocated time. And that's practice and simulating how you want to write. Because of, I don't think it's fair for any students to just want to write under stress time on the exact day. You need to practice this thing. It's a muscle you train, and then the more you do it, the better you become at it. When you start, you will write over time, but eventually over time you become better, because you know what I need to avoid when I write. Because, you know, there are bad habits we have, which is one, writing a question paper over time and marking it for too long. That in itself, it just leads you for you to consume so much time, not realizing that you could have done that in less time.
Parkinson's law. Any activity will expand to the amount of time that's allocated.
Yes, definitely.
It's the same with a test.
Definitely. So that was about that. And I don't think the greatest thing which was different between this year and the first 7 year is that I always believed that I'll pass. So regardless of the mark I get on my script, I knew, me personally, like I am speaking for myself, I believe in myself enough that I knew I'm going to enroll for PGDAS. I'm going in PGDAS next year. I'm going to pass it. I'm going to fight. You get what I mean? So believe in myself is sufficient. Like I don't get intimidated by the small shortfalls, you know what I mean? Because I know it's part of learning curve. You know what I mean? You can utilize those experiences, those opportunities to better yourself as a student. Because yeah, like in second year, man, I thank God I failed. And that's the craziest thing, because of it allowed me to go back to relearn things which I didn't learn better, and to like better like improve myself as a student, you know what I mean? Because there were certain areas were lacking in myself. So my knowledge depth, there were gaps. And when I went back, I relearned them better. And the most important thing is to have a positive attitude. Because when I went back, I was a repeat student, but I always attended. I never banked classes, always there, always engaging in class. And I did my work. Like I was a normal senior student. So that helped me a lot. And asking for help, man, like, you know, you need to go to your lectures, your AT, sit down with them, ask them, okay, why didn't I understand that? Simple questions, where did I go wrong? I consulted so many times with Raven before I wrote my year test, you know, and because of, I was writing these questions and I was
Raven's our academic trainee at...
Yes, our AT, yeah. I was making these silly mistakes, but they were learning curves. So I knew in the formal assessment what I shouldn't, like what mistakes to avoid. And I'll give you a typical one. You see, when you do depreciation, it's 9 months, 3 months and all of that. So sometimes I would get it wrong, you know?
Yeah.
So when I was in the formal test, I knew like if I count 9-3, I need to double check it. You get what I mean? Because I know there's a high chance that I will make that type of an error, that type of a mistake. You get what I mean? So practicing enables you to know like what you need to look up to. You know what I mean? And it takes that.
And then he got a distinction for the first year test. So it's not rocket science. It's accounting science. And it was about the process. I think what I'm realizing now, more than ever, process is what will get you to win at this level. So
100%.
I forgot his name. Hilly Hoffman. He's like a mental toughness coach. He's like a motivational coach. He came to speak to us, and he gave us these ideas of different levels of our education and how we approach our education, and really, I guess, life, actually, our performance. So I've sort of adapted it to my own version. But when you're in high school, you're really always thinking about the results, like what mark did I get, et cetera, et cetera. You're performance driven. When you get to university, you now need to start seeing, okay, what am I doing every day? What is the input that I'm actually doing here? How am I learning? What time do I wake up, et cetera, et cetera. Now you're process driven. But then when you get into the working world, you get into experience and skills, you become purpose driven. And I see it everywhere. I see where I have a gap. Off, my process is off. It means I need to fix the process. You've done well in fixing the processes. When did 100%. It start? Would you say it started that the year that you repeated?
100%. I would say the greatest weakness in the whole process for me is the lack of belief. Man, you just need to believe in yourself regardless.
That's number one.
That's number one. Because think about any day where you wrote a formal assessment and you were confident. You can't tell me that you didn't pass. Your confidence is important. But think about any day where you got to a venue, you became scared, you became anxious. Your emotion will determine the outcome of your performance. Not because you don't know what you studied. You could have properly prepared. But because the emotion got the most out of you and you fumbled. So my process definitely started when I went back again.
Yeah.
Because one of the most important things is that I didn't appreciate the fact that I failed. You know what I mean? It's like, nah, man, this can never be me. And the emotion I experienced, I told myself that I don't want to be in the same position again. Mm. And I was very intentional about that. So what I started to do is to listen to, you see, you will speak to a lot of people like anybody will do, right? Not everything they say to you will work for you.
Yeah.
Not everything which I will say will work for everybody, but I know what works for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know my strength. Mm-hmm. So I chose to speak to a lot of people. I'll give you a typical example. I spoke to Bonolo. She was an 80 for FRK 705 last year. And we had a wonderful conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But what I deduced out of that conversation is the importance of scheduling your work.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this. It's my take home. This is my, you see this?
That's the one.
This is the one. Another example, I spoke to Gareth, you know, King Gareth. And we were talking, man, how is Bell at the beginning of the year, you know, Bell, all that. And out of the conversation, what I deduced was how to read the act.
Mm-hmm.
Gareth opened the act. It was like, okay, when I read, I do this, this, this. And for me, that was the most important thing.
Mm.
You get what I mean? So, you can better fire your process by the things you need. Like, you need to know what I need to do to become better.
Yeah.
And through talking to people, not everything will work for you. Don't take people's answers as they are and try to implement them.
Mm-hmm.
Because not everything which has worked for person X will work for you.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, whenever I talk to anybody, even my mentor, you see my mentor, it's like, man, I can't flag and highlight this act. How do I do it? It's like, bro, wait, use the color system.
Mm.
Have four colors. Blue everywhere you go will be a section reference. If it's section 7 and we're in section 8, that 7 highlighted it blue because it will tell your brain that go to section 7. Green for tax, it's everything where SAL says, this is my money, this is taxable. Orange, be cautious, deductions, you know what I mean? Like this is red, prohibited. So you see, when you're highlighting, and that was a conversation with my mentor, and that helped me to know how to highlight my act whenever I read it. And that's how my process becomes better, because I'm a life learning individual, and I learn every day.
Mm.
Like for me, I'll talk to a student, and I see something they're doing better, and I want to learn from them, you know what I mean? Like, bro, like, how did you do that?
Mm.
Like, I ask myself, okay, they will tell me, this is what I did. You see, the thing is that, man, like, sometimes you shouldn't shy away from asking how a person did it better.
Yeah, man.
You get what I mean?
Humble yourself.
Humble yourself.
Because you there's a lot of things that people are doing better than you.
Exactly.
A lot of things people are doing better than me.
Exactly. And you will learn a lot from people if you are able, as I said at the beginning of our conversation, don't envy. Because that will steal joy in your life, right? So you can go to a fellow student, ask them, like, how are you doing this, man? Like, why are you able to do all of that? But at the end of the day, you need to understand yourself and know what works for you.
Yeah.
You get what I mean?
Yeah.
Because of we're not the same. We have different strength. We have different weaknesses. And the better you understand yourself, how you need to work, you become better over time.
Yeah.
Because of, as Bukamos has said, that you become better, not the cause. You as a person,
yeah.
You get what I mean? Because of over time, the course is consistent, is the same. You know what I mean? Okay, they may revise the curriculum here or there, but you become better as a person. You know what I mean? How you used to read, the amount of information you are able to understand. It's you. It's your growth. It's your development. And that's something which is very important to be cognizant of as a person.
Yo, there was a lot there. But I think one thing that I do want to stress is we need more feedback and less advice. Less advice, more feedback. I see that it was what you took from the situations. And even more importantly, what you did and how that did in your life.
Mm-hmm.
How did that implementation of the thing that you did perform? And based off of what you've done, just like what you did with the first class test onto the year test, you're going to apply the feedback and grow from it.
Uh-huh.
Brother, in closing, man, if you could go back through a time machine, talk to high school first year Unity, what's one thing you would tell him?
Quite crazy, man. I would tell them, learn to enjoy life and be not everything revolves around school in life. There's more to life than only focusing on education, studying and all of that. Because you deprive yourself so much in life when you're so focused. You think the whole day you can only study and all of that. So for me, I would say find the right balance to balance between your academics, your social life, your family life and all of that. So that 3 years out of varsity, when you look back, you have good moments and memories, man. You know, you're not sad because you didn't do nothing and you have this paper. You have this paper on your hand and there's no live memory of anything behind, man. So it's just that, you know, just find the right balance, have fun and be responsible when you're having fun. Don't neglect the academics, you know what I mean? Yeah. Just find the golden balance.
Keep it balanced.
The golden median is very important because of you shouldn't do too much of anything. You should do academics because that's what brought you here. And you should also have life besides school. Get what I mean? So that's the most important thing. I only learned that over time to say, oh, I shouldn't always be stressed. Because for me, man, it's about production. I want to bend diesel now, you know.
The thing is, we can only say it in hindsight. It's why we go through it. So that, you know, unity back there.
Yes.
Maybe he'll think about it.
Yeah, most deaf, man.
Maybe I'll think about it.
And enjoy the process and trust the process. Learn from your previous mistakes and learn that failure is part of life. And the greatest university in life is failure, man. And you're not a failure because you failed the test. No, you're not. And don't let that define you as a person. You know what I mean? Don't regiment yourself to one script, one mark, you know, a percentage on your grade. Nah, you're not that. You're more than that. Don't let that define you as a person. Look beyond that. Just know you are capable. Because all the students who have enrolled for this course, they're capable. They have the capacity to pass. You get what I mean? You just need to work in all those areas which need to be perfected for you to be a fit for purpose soldier.
Yeah, man. I mean? Fit for purpose.
Fit for purpose.
Fit for purpose. Guys, enjoy it. Love it. Have fun. Enjoy the process. Believe in yourself because you can. You absolutely can. Please, ndacela some belief if you have not already. Follow this. Unity, he did it for you. So now you got to follow. Please now. Please follow this if you are listening. I hope that it does not end, but that it begins in CASA. Thank you so much, brother.
Thank you, man.